faithful to you. Hallelujah. You know, the enemy would try to steal your joy. When he tries to do that, I just think of the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The goodness of God. You know, but unless you have a relationship with your Father, unless you learn how to pour out your heart to Him, God. He already knows your thoughts anyway, so you might as well verbalize them. Now, God, I'm upset. But praise God, He is always there for you. He is always there for you. Well, you may be seated for just a few minutes, and then we're going to pray. We want to welcome Anchor Faith Church. They're in St. Augustine, Florida. They are joining us. Let's say hi to them. Rhema Bible Church. And for anybody else that's joining us, hey, if you're on Facebook, make comments there. I'm not going to be looking at them here, but my son probably will be down there. So we want to hear from you. And we're so thankful for all of you here. I was thinking about, you know, as Pastor Ray was talking about 2002, and I well remember that. It's like... it was several weeks, and they couldn't. Fear was taking over everywhere because they were going everywhere through from Washington on, you know, west, and killing people. And that Sunday night we were having prayer, and I thought, this has got to stop, and we know how to stop it. And so that's what we concentrated on that night. And like I say, I know that others were praying, but I'm telling you what, the power of our prayer was effective. Was effective. I was looking over actually some things this afternoon, and I came across this that I don't get very often, and that I don't look at very often, and it was dated February the 28th, 1985. What is today? February the 28th. Well, I wasn't for sure what day February was on the 28th was in 1985, but I looked it up. I knew what happened on that day. I looked it up. It was on a Thursday. It was a Thursday night, actually, and we were having a seminar at Rhema Bible Training College Center now. It was center there in college now. We were having a seminar with Lester Summerall. In fact, that was the last time that he was here at Rhema until his death. And it was a tremendous week. The anointing was so strong that week. He spoke with such power and anointing, and every night was just awesome. And on that Thursday night, which was February the 28th, he called my husband up on the stage. In fact, I don't even think my father-in-law was even here. I think they might have been out on crusades. I'm not for sure, but I think they were. But he called my husband up, and he gave him this word, and he said, "I see something like a light that is covering the entire campus of Rhema here. And the dynamics and the movement and direction of that great thrust of God will come out of this man that is on the platform here. A powerful spiritual leader, God is making and creating and forming and doing all the things that he needs to do for it. And he will walk in that light, and many shall come from many directions, and they shall be blessed. Not only his students, but others. And they shall be blessed at this place. The light of heaven, like a dome, is over this campus. God wants to bless it more and more. God wants to love it more and more. God wants to inspire it more and more. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. Says the light of heaven is like a dome over this place. And not only as students, but others shall be blessed in this place. You wonder why you're here? It was, and I don't have time because we're going to be praying, and I may tell you a little bit of the story later, but it was let me say this to you. Don't ever try to interpret what a prophecy means. In fact, probably Pastor has never even read that. This is probably the first time he's ever heard it since that night. But from that, we had prayer groups that have been praying on this campus ever since we've been on this campus. And I would encourage you, if you're not a part of a prayer group here at Rainbow Bible Church, you need to become a part of a prayer group. And out of this, as the prayer groups began praying, all of a sudden, and you know, it's so important to let the Holy Ghost just pray what he wants to sometimes. We don't need to interpret. But anyway, out of that prayer groups and out of those prayer groups was the beginning of the birth of Rhema Bible Church. And it was in June of that year whenever, of course, I've always felt like I was going to be pastoring a church in 65, and it didn't happen in 66 or 67 or 68. 70, 80, God, I must have misunderstood what you had for us. But when you let God do it in the timing that he wants to do it, then it is in his perfect will, in his perfect plan. And what happens so many times, and I see this happening, guys, with many of you, you get out of God's perfect will because you try to get ahead of his plan or you try to interpret his plan. That was good. That was really good. But you know, both Pastor and I, we just said, okay, you know, God, I mean, we didn't even know when we came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, the place that we didn't want to come at all. We had no idea what God had planned, and we just followed his plan day by day. It's not that you shouldn't plan, but on the other hand, sometimes we're planning our own plans and not God's plans. So we didn't try to interpret that. Okay, God, thank you. We just put it away, didn't even think about it. Until all of a sudden, in June of that year, and we were overseas in South Africa, and we were and it was a dedication of a church there, and so we were there, and my husband was up, and he was trying to preach, huh? I did. Well, I didn't tell him what they were praying. Okay, I'll just tell you guys, okay? We may be a little bit later than normal. Okay, so anyway, the story is this. And you know, this is how that even the closest man of God or woman of God can miss God's interpretation. I think y'all need to hear this, so maybe I need to tell the whole story. Because at that particular time, Brother Hagin was on the road and doing crusades, and he said to my husband, you need to get out on the road more, and you need to go traveling, and I'm going to stay at home. So we started beginning to, you know, I mean, we're under his authority. We started planning. We started going to healing crusades. Pastor formed a group, which later became the Rhema Singers and Band. He didn't get to use it very much in that time because... So all of us, and so he said, you know, you're going to be on the road, I'm going to be at home. Well, as this prayer group began to praying, and Patsy was over the prayer groups, and they said, you know, they didn't know about that conversation. Nobody knew about that conversation but us as a family. And so they said, Patsy, every time we pray for, and they called him Ken Jr. at the time, every time we pray, we start praying, God starts saying, a pastor's heart, a pastor's heart. And Patsy said, "That's all wrong, guys. Quit praying that. He's supposed to be out on the road. Brother Hagin's going to be home," because he, you know, Patsy didn't know that. So they kept on and kept on. And so this went, you know, for several months. And so finally Patsy said, and they said, "We try, but this is what happens." And so finally Patsy said, "Listen, okay, whatever the Holy Ghost tells you to pray, pray, but don't tell a soul. Don't tell anybody what you're praying." It's so important to keep your prayers to yourself sometime. Let God work things out in his time. And so, in June, as we were overseas, and I honestly did not know that the Lord was dealing with him to pastor, because I was like, I'd given up my hope. God, I guess that I got it all wrong, so I guess I'll be happy with what you're having us to do. And but he tried to preach, and it was awful. And one of the not the only reason, but one of the things that I loved, and I always wanted to marry a preacher, and I loved the preaching, and he could preach good. So that was one of his check marks, you know, on my list. Loved to hear him preach. In fact, I still do. I pray. I'll tell you a little secret. When I'm down there and he gets a little of anointing, I keep on praying, "God, give him that evangelist anointing." I love that. I love that. Let him preach. Let him preach. I love preaching. It's not boring. Teaching sometimes is boring. I love preaching. So anyway, that's me. And so, and I've never criticized him and his preaching, never. But, you know, I said, "Honey, what's wrong with you? It was awful tonight." I'm not usually blunt, but it was bad. And so then he began to share me, "I'm really frustrated because this is what the Lord's been dealing with me about. And my dad says I have to go on the road and da, 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 da," you know. And so, pass on to make a long story short, this was August. It kept on getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And finally, you know, my husband said, pastor said to me, "Honey, when my dad and mom come home and after their crusade in August, I've got to talk to them. I've just got to talk to them. This, you know, this is just not going away." So when they came home, we said, we need to go out to eat. And we did. And so, so pastor shared his heart. He said, "Dad, you know, you tell me I need to go on the road, but this is what I'm getting." Now, you see, sometimes God doesn't give you the whole story. Well, when Brother Hagin was in, he was in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the time, holding a crusade. And so he was praying in the middle of the night one night. And so the Lord told him, he said, "You've got it all backwards." He said, "You're supposed to stay on the road and Ken Jr. is supposed to be at home." But he didn't tell him why. He just said he's supposed to be at home. And of course, when, you know, pastor told him the heart, he says, "Well, that makes sense. That's what it's all about." And I was thrilled because we married in 1965, and it took 20 years for my prayer to be answered. So the one thing that God has taught me is patience. I guess that it was a hard test for me to pass because, you know, got to be patient for a long time. But Rhema Bible Church was birthed through prayer. And that is one of the main missions of the mother church here is prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer is powerful. Over in James 5:16, and we'll quickly try to bring this to a close. I like this in the New Living Translation. I'm just going to read the last part of James 5:16. It says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." and produces wonderful results. And then, you know, I usually end there, but this afternoon I was reading this, and it just gives an example of powerful prayer. Verse 17 says, Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly, the word earnestly, we need to emphasize that. When he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. The power of prayer. And you know, I honestly use that scripture when I would need to pray for rain not to fall on our events. If Elijah could pray it, I can pray it. Prayer is powerful, you know? And then it says in verse 18, then when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. Prayer is powerful. And the word has admonished us over in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And then Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. And here's this word again. And be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Be persistent in your prayers. And then quickly, I want to go over to Matthew 18, verse 18. It says, assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. Do you realize that God is in the midst of us right now? He's going to be listening to our prayers. I like the Message Bible of that. It says, take this most seriously. A yes on earth is yes in heaven. A no on earth is no in heaven. What you say to one another is eternal. I mean this, and I love this. When two of you get together on anything at all on earth and make a prayer of it, my Father in heaven goes into action. Woo! My Father in heaven goes into action. And when two or three of you are together because of me, you can be sure that I'll be there. Now, you know, what do we need God to go into action about? And what do we need to pray about? Well, I have it on my heart and for I don't know how long. But we're going to pray for revival. We're going to pray for revival. And we're going to pray for revival specifically to our nation. In 1980, and I've said this before, but in 1980, as Brother Hagin conducted prayer meetings over in what is now RMA, and we were praying for the nations. Any of you involved in any of those prayer meetings? Praying for the nations. You know, and he said, pray for whatever nation that you want to pray for. And you've heard the story of how that I would pray for Russia, for USSR, and because it was just such a big mountain to me. And, you know, as we prayed, and many others were praying, I think, for that same area. Some were praying for other areas. But it's like as we prayed, did it happen overnight? No. We prayed every week. Every week. It first was on a Monday night, and then I think it turned to a Wednesday night. But we prayed every week, I think probably until the church started. I can't remember exactly when we ended that. And we always prayed over in Zechariah 10:1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone, grass in the field. And I can hear Brother Hagin still. Then he would go to James 5:7, and all of it was in the King James Version. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath, and I can hear him say now, and hath long patience. Can you hear him, honey, say that? Long patience for it until he receive the early and the latter rain. And so we'll stand up. We're going to pray for the rain. We're going to pray for the rain. It's time for the rain. We're not going to pray on how it can how it should happen. No. We're going to say, however, Lord, it happens. We have no idea how it's going to happen. That's not our job. Our job is just to pray for the rain. Pray for the rain. Pray for the rain. And that's why so many times, and if if you are not fluent in your Holy Spirit language, you need to practice and become fluent. Because, you know, our English language can only go so far. And besides that, many times in our English language, we're praying our desires and not God's desires. We're praying our plans and not God's plans. Over in Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. And so, you know, as we pray, let's just go ahead and pray. It's there. Oh, the Holy Spirit's here. Pajeta, Mandelabri, and they shall abri, and they shall abranu solabri gay, and alikalabrasho, and shall abrasi, and an shall abrasi, and and abasuta, and alabri, alabruco, and olubri, and alabrashe, and alabriga munzulabrashe. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as I was praying, one of the things that the Lord brought to me is that we've got to check our own heart, because revival begins in us. Revival begins in us. As he was bringing to me, and these are the words I heard, such division, such division, such division, such division in the body of Christ. And as long as there's division in the body of Christ, and even in our own body, then our prayers are not going to be as powerful. You know, when the Tower of Babel, they were in all in one place and one accord. And of course we know that that was not the will of God, but God, when he saw that, he said, there is, you know, when they're all in one accord, there is nothing that will stop them. Nothing that will stop them. And of course he had to interfere with that. And now that's why we have all these languages that I wish I knew. But then when the Holy Ghost came, and they were in one place and one accord. And now this was declared by Jesus that the Holy Spirit would come. Hallelujah. And so I would just say to you in this place, let's move up higher. Yes. Let's forget about all of our stupid, petty differences. The Lord brought me to Philippians, and if you have trouble with all those petty differences, then you need to read this every day. Philippians 4:4. I mean, here, Paul was in prison. Now, if he had any reason to gripe and to grumble, you can sit down for just a minute. If he had any reason to gripe or grumble, he certainly had reasons to do. Because here he was, you know, doing the will of God, and they're putting him in prison. And yet, over in, let me see where it is. Oh, in verse 4, he declares, he writes a letter to the Philippians, and he declares, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, in our carnal flesh, if we were writing to the Philippians, we would have probably said, grumble in the Lord always. And again, I say grumble. And dear Lord, why is this all happening to me? Well, when that happens, it's probably because we're not as close to God as we should. We haven't built ourselves up on our holy face. We haven't gone to a higher place that regardless of the circumstances that come our way, we can say, rejoice in the Lord always. But then he goes on as an admonition, and this is what I want you to read. In verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. Think on these things. And you know, this is a good idea. I need you need to put that on your phone or write it down or whatever. And when somebody starts griping and complaining to you and starts giving you dirt on somebody else or their opinion on something, you say, you know what? I got something to read to you. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And you should say to them, my ears are not garbage cans, so don't dump that in my ears. Because I want to tell you what, it will keep on coming to you and keep on coming to you and get you in a place that you shouldn't be in your relationship with God. And I want to tell you what, the enemy is really sneaky. He'll do anything that he can to keep you from the assignment that God has for you. And each and every one of us has assignments. There's a song, and we're not going to sing it, but they're going to learn it the way I know it. It's a song that my mother used to sing at the altar call, consecration. It says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul for thee. I'm telling you what, you're going to be a mouthpiece. In wherever you are in your day. And as we move up higher with him, you're going to be sensitive to hear his voice. You're going to pray for opportunities to minister. There are hurting people out there, guys. There are people that dropping dead every day from suicide because they think there's no hope. And here we are with the answer. And so as we close out, I want us to stand up and I want us to make this commitment through a song which says, I will move up higher. You know that one? Okay, let's sing it.
I will move up.
Of the world doesn't matter. The irritations of the world doesn't matter. Frustrations of the world doesn't matter. Frustrations of people in your world doesn't matter. All that matters is Him. All that matters is Him. I want to thank you for, I want to thank Anchor Faith Church for joining us, but I want to thank you for hooking up. As long as you hook up in prayer, I'm here. When you quit hooking up, I can pray at home by myself. Yeah, I've been places to where it's like I thought I was the only one praying. I thought everybody left when I said, let's pray. But praise God, I know that you are here to make a difference in this world. Hallelujah. And we're going to make a difference. And we're going to let God show us what He's going to do. Because our part is to pray, and His part is to make it happen. And I believe exciting things are just around the corner. Hallelujah. Well, I love you guys. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Hour of Power. Be here. We're going to have an awesome time. And anybody, did you have anything? Okay. So have a good week, and we'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless you.